And welcome to the Spirits Work Show, the metaphysical and spiritual show with a difference. I'm Sylvie Avery.
I'm Mick Avery. Hi.
And we are mediums, healers and authors who have charity through our gifts of spirit communication. We focus on education, and on this show, through Mick's deep trance mediumship, we bring the information direct from the other side of life. And on today's show, we'll be just discussing listeners' questions, and if you'd like to join us, we'd love to hear from you. It's toll-free in the US, it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's 001-530-876-3222. We don't do readings on this show, so it's not sort of personal situations that we talk about, but general questions, metaphysical questions, anything to do with anything that you think the spirit world could help you with. Spirit guide Gregory Hayes, like we will tell you in a second. It's not just him, he is with a larger group, so they have lots of experts with them, and they can answer your questions about most things. So do join us. On the other hand, I do say that if you want to email me during the week or any time with a question for me to ask on your behalf on the show, if you don't want to phone up, that's absolutely fine too. I can understand that. So that's enq@spirit-teaching.com. And so our website is www.spirit-teaching.com, which we will mention a few more times during the show. So I'll hand you over to Mick now.
Hi. As well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com every Sunday at 10 a.m. PST, that's 1 p.m. EST, 6 p.m. GMT. We actually do a podcast, which is bi-weekly, in fact, and that's with the Spirit Guides Network, which is based in the UK. If you'd like to know, anyway, more about us, our books, our CDs, maybe our digital downloads, or you would like an Akashic reading, we suggest you go visit our websites, which are at www.spirit-teaching.com, www.spiritsworkradio.com, and now live is www.mcavery.com, and that's for European and UK people at this side of the planet, really.
Where we are
at the moment. Now, each week live on the show, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for a group of evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. Gregory himself had an earth life in the early 1700s in England, but now he has come back to share the vast insights and wisdom he has gained access to with those of us still on the earth. And I have to do that right now so we can get on with the show. And I'm going to hand you back to Sylvan. So that's me done. Hmm. All right. Okay.
Without further ado. Mm. Yes. Sorry about that. Oh, no. I nearly knocked
my... Oh, look, a chicken.
I nearly knocked my coffee over. Anyway, there you go. Gregory, yes, is a spokesperson for this group who consists of scientific minds along with ordinary people. They are an educational team and have come to give us access to information that will help us in order that we may move toward a more harmonious and peaceful way of life. to understand the nature of our existence and hopefully save our world from the negative spiral we seem to be caught in. When Mick is in trance, his spirit and his consciousness are transported and held by the scientific members of the White Cloud Group so that we can enjoy the complete personality of Gregory Hay. This means there's no room for errors because interpretation doesn't come into it. So it's not Mick relaying the words, it's actually Mick has no idea what goes on. And we can enjoy Gregory and the access that he has to the team and the information that he can bring. So once again, it's www.spirit-teaching.com. But we are on the wonderful BBS radio every Sunday at 10 a.m. PST. That's 1 p.m. EST and 6 p.m. GMT in the UK. So do forward us your questions in the week. And we do have, I know we do have some questions today. But we will see if Gregory wants to talk to us first about anything before we start. And we'll have a great show. Thank you for joining us. So I think Gregory's with us now.
Yes, hello, my dear friend, little bird.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Hello, everyone, and welcome. And once again, it is with the utmost love that we are here. And I am so pleasured and honoured, as always, to be able to speak with you at this time and to be able to, in a sense, bring the understanding and the knowledge of all those within the White Cloud Group.
We're excited to have you again. Would you like to begin with anything this week, or shall we go straight into the questions? It's up to you.
Well, my dear friend, I was actually thinking about something that I had regretfully forgotten to actually tell you.
Okay.
And that is to do with where I was born.
Okay.
There is a small village called West Acre. Now, at the point at which, when I was actually physically born, it was really just a very small collection of houses, one farm, and a tiny chapel. The tiny chapel was on a road called Church Road, and leading to that was another road called River Road, which actually, at the time I was born, was River Lane. Moving from River Lane in a southerly direction was another smaller lane called Sandy Lane, and that was simply because of the condition of the soil at that point. And that moved up onto Church Road, which actually ran west to east, you see?
Mm-hmm.
So you have Church Road running west to east, River Road running north to south, and as almost as though you were constructing a scaffold or something, there was Sandy Lane, which ran from River Road across the diagonal to Church Road.
Okay.
Yes, and yeah. You have then Sandy Road, Sandy Lane, that is, should I say, is actually at that point. Now, where I was born now is just a mere collection of stones. The collection of stones sits about 30 yards away from Sandy Lane and is halfway between the two junctions. On the corner of Sandy Lane and Church Road exists what was originally the small chapel, but in actual fact now is a church. So it is slightly bigger, you see, was extended at that time. To the east of where I was born, which is now just a collection of stones, it was in fact a cattle shed for a while after my father, long after my father John Hay had left it.
Mm-hmm.
And that after that, after I had passed, he actually had nothing more to do with it, and he simply moved himself away from the area, and I believe he went back really to King's Lynn, which is where he was from originally.
Okay.
So the situation is then I was born in this, where this collection of stones now exists.
Okay.
And between Sandy Lane, the collection of stones where I was born, and in the same distance further on again, is a farm. And that's what exists there now.
Hmm.
You see?
Yes.
So that gives you an understanding. Anyway, I thought that I ought to really bring that up, because I remembered now that I had never actually said where exactly it was that I was born.
Well, yes.
In the physical sense.
You described what the building looked like
yes,
at the time.
Yes.
Why is it just a collection of stones now?
Because after my father John Hay had left it, because of course my mother passed when I was just 3.5 years of age, when my father John Hay left it after my passing in 1723, it actually was taken over by the people who built the farm. You see?
Right, yeah.
And then they turned it first of all into a hay storage, a small hay storage for cattle that were otherwise outside of the general farm building. Mm-hmm. And then they turned it into a cattle shed. And I believe that now it is just really no more than really a pile of stone.
Just rubble.
Yes.
Waste,
I understand.
Just a waste of space,
Yes, I believe
okay.
So.
Well, we'll have to take a little trip sometime when we've got some spare time.
Yes, yes.
Friends of ours and fans and listeners and have actually been, and we haven't. How naughty
yes,
is that?
I know, yes.
They've been to the Priory and they've sent photographs and everything.
We
must go.
Yes, 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 quite.
And we'll
so.
Tell everybody about it when we get back. Maybe put
some
photographs up on the website or something.
Yes, yes, I think so. That would be the most good, yes. Mm. Yes,
Have lunch in the ale house that you used to frequent.
Yes, absolutely so, yes.
Well, thank you for that. Have you just been on a trip there or something? Is that why?
Actually meet once again with my father. I don't see him that often, really, because of our journeys are just so diametrically opposed. He takes a great deal of knowledge and understanding from the other members of my family group, really, and he really likes to be with them. And that doesn't mean to say that we're disenfranchised in some way or that there is anything wrong with our relationship. On the contrary, it's just purely and simply he has his pleasures in life, the things that he likes to do. Mm. And particularly with his brother, Robert, and his son, Ham, who, of course, in my physical life was really my very best friend.
Mm. And you see him a lot, don't you?
And I do see Ham extensively, yes.
Mm. Mm.
Yes, so in a sense, you could say that we keep in touch a great deal, yes.
Mm.
Yes, quite so.
Okay, well, that's a nice little tale. Thank you very much.
Yes, yes, you're welcome.
I'm going to start with this question today from Kathy in Chicago.
Yes, yes, quite so.
Yes. She says, we have given her a reading before, and so I do know Kathy. She says that she enjoys listening to the shows every Sunday, and she was wondering, actually, she was commenting on Seth and the information that he imparted through Jane Roberts.
Yes.
Seth books.
I'm sure
everybody's aware of that.
Yes, yes.
She was wondering, she says he speaks in terms of the multidimensional entity, and that you speak in terms of the soul group, but it seems to me to be two different names for basically the same concept. So much of what is discussed by both of you is very consistent. So could you elaborate on this a little?
Yes.
By the way, hi Kathy.
Yes, hello Kathy. Hello, hello. So to begin with, then the situation of the multidimensional entity. You, as a being, as a physical being, are a multidimensional entity. All beings in physical life are, whether they like it or not. They have an aspect of themselves, which is your beautiful, pure spirit, without which you would not have physical life, in the way and knowledge that you gain. So, in respect of your multidimensional self in this physical life, when you are existing in it, there are certain parts of that which are, in a sense, blocked from the rest of the multidimensional self, purely and simply because of the laws of proximity that I have talked about often. The laws of proximity dictate that whilst you are having a physical life, actually, it's a bit like as though you were a fish in water. And when, as a fish, you look above the water, everything that appears in one place is actually in somewhere else. So it's as though, as a fish, if you imagine that you were the fish and you were looking outside of your physical life, what you would see within your multidimensional self is an aspect of ability, perhaps. That means another form of your energy, but that it looks different and may well be that the proximity of where your energy is at that time, so you think of it and regard it from the physical aspect of consciousness that you are, when you actually identify with it, it's a bit like you putting your hand out to something in water and it's actually somewhere else because of the angle of refraction. And refracted light acts in exactly the same way on the physical horizon, in a physical dimension, when you are dealing with fractioned light through a prism of something like water, is exactly the same as if you were reaching with your spirit self, or rather with your conscious self to your spirit. And you were reaching to your spirit, but you can't quite grasp it, because it's actually a part of your multidimensional self, but because of the laws of proximity, it's like it's actually, you think it's in one place and it's actually somewhere else. So in that respect, it means that when you as a physical traveler let go of your consciousness, when you as a physical traveler have moments of changing your vibration or acclimatizing your vibration with your beautiful spirit self, you traverse those periods like as though you had jumped out of the water and into the other dimension. That's purely and simply because your spirit is always in a different dimension to your physical self. It never ever comes into the physical body. So the situation where people think, oh, I've seen that spirit moving out of that physical body, isn't actually accurate. When a person passes, what actually happens is that what you see is possibly the experience of the proximity of spirit, but it never actually is in the physical side of life. It just shows itself momentarily because of the change in its vibration. And that's why it is that you as a physical being are able to see it, acknowledge it, of the spirit of someone else, you see, when they're actually passing or something like that. Now, then, to do with, if you were looking at the multidimensional self in with regard to this and your then unlimited journey, what you have to understand about yourself, and this is where we are significantly bringing about a different aura of identity and information and fact, is in actual fact because of the notion that people have on physical life, that you have to keep coming back to have a physical life in order to be conscious. If you look in terms of many religious indoctrinations and dogmas, you will see that they come from the premise that you have to continue to have physical life in order to exist at all. Most Buddhist language will teach you this part of the structure. Alternatively, if you were a spiritist, you would believe that, in actual fact, the only thing that you can do is come back and have another physical life, because, in actual fact, that's all that spirit do. That's all that you do. And that, in actual fact, if you were, as a physical being, wanting to gain contact with your mother, father, sister, brother, twice removed, whoever it was that had passed to the spirit world, that you, in fact, should not be able to make contact with them. purely and simply because they understand, as is their wont, that in fact your mother, father, sister or brother have actually returned to the physical side of life, and so therefore are actually uncontactable.
So you can't have it always, can you? So
no.
you either don't believe in reincarnation and expect a message from your parents and loved ones, or you do believe in reincarnation but don't expect a message from a loved one.
Or parents, yes.
Or whatever.
Well, quite so.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah, which is part of the reason, incidentally, why it is that if you consort with most Buddhist monks, they will actually be quite offended and aghast at a human being trying to make contact with those from our side of life.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, and yet we've latched onto the reincarnation
aspect of Buddhism.
Belief. Yes, exactly.
Yes.
For some reason. But, okay.
So in a sense, that explains that little part of it. Then what we are saying here, what and how you identify as a physical being and as a spirit with your soul group, that is, in a sense, a different matter. Really and entirely, because beings that belong to a soul group are not just multidimensional, as you are, but also have and embody different beings from different species of different planets, so that all of the collection of beings, shall we say, from your soul group do not necessarily mean that they're all human. Some may well be beings of a different state, of a different evolutionary time period, or a different evolutionary collection of cells. What is actually identical or near identical with them is that they will all be of a similar vibration. So that means to say that the energy that you create as a physical being, I know that's just like a mind game in a sense, but the energy that you create from your behavior, your instructive will, is actually created through the emotional fields of how you attract or repel energy from other people to do with your relationships. Relationships not just of other beings, but of the earth, of your life physical experience. So it means that when you are referring to your soul group, the energy that you can connect with may be identified as though you feel like you are connecting with a different being, but that it's actually such a loving energy that it almost feels as though it's part of yourself, which in fact it is, in the truest sense, because that being, if coming from your soul group, is actually a twin with your spirit's energy, because you are of a similar vibration. That's why you're in the same deeply loving harbor of state of love that exists within the universal, multiversal dimension. That means to say that, do not be confused over this with matters of soul as akin to the physical side of life within a human lifetime journey. Soul is a matter of how beings empathize, create emotional fields of response, perhaps grow their integrity or grow their courage or grow some other accolade of behavior in human physical terms that is then enabling you as a being to grow. To master various energies, perhaps to master significantly various different ways of how you communicate. And we always will say that if a human being in physical life grows to great depths of love, grows with huge amounts of service to others, and in fact imparts and creates knowledge pathways and really forms attention and seeking with the greatest energy of love they can create. If that is the way of it, then they are automatically raising their vibration, which means that once they have finished with their physical life and they return to our side of life, with their beautiful energy, soul energy, it enables them to have a key much more readily to the multiverse. Purely and simply, because what will happen is, as you as a physical being pass to the ether world, your coat will be light and beautiful. So that means that your conscious physical state will be able to marry completely and blend completely with your beautiful, pure spirit, that part of God which you are. And that means, in truth, that it will enable you to have the keys, the ability to travel and wander throughout the universe. So this whole situation about the physical universe and the multiverse in terms of the spirit world or ether world is really to do with access. If you are a beautiful being then in physical life and you do your very best, even in the face of greatest adversity, you will actually create a beautiful pathway within yourself, even though you may have great adversity all the way up until your passing. You will gain access to the wonders of the universe and abilities, of course, potentially, if you so desire, at some point, to maybe have a different form of existence elsewhere in the universe. Our point here is where we differ, really and simply, because it is not a fact that human beings are solely bound to the earth. That is only in the intention of the physical form and cell activity of the species to which you are presently aligned, but does not make in motion the rest of the universal archetype or multiverse as it exists. Because in truth, my dear friends, the universe is yours to perceive.
So you could have had actually more time, because it's a continuous life, get that in.
Yes.
You could have had more, shall we say, impressive
experiences,
physical lives, nevertheless, a life on other planets, in other dimensions, that actually, when you go back to the ether world and weigh it up, well, okay, I do have done, well, it'll only be when we go back we'll know from our Akashic book, etc., what it is that we did prior to coming to have an earth life. So when we weigh it up, do we ever look at the situation and say, okay, well, I had a life there and a life there. Some of it might not have been physical, but still a life, because it's a different vibration.
A different attention,
yeah.
Yes.
But anyway, then I had a physical earth life, and then you come back and you bring it all together, and it's all really a page in a huge book, isn't it?
So yes, and that also, of course, my dear friend, does include the very many different situations that you have visited as a helper or as a spirit guide, okay, with other people having a physical life.
Okay. So do you ever say, do people ever say, well, actually, I learnt this and felt that so and so and so and so about my physical life on Earth, but now I'm here and I'm re-evaluating my continuous life. I actually feel more akin to who I was when I was having this other experience on this other planet prior to my Earth life. Do you know what I'm
saying?
Sometimes
they do, yes. Sometimes they do.
Because, you know,
absolutely,
that might help people to understand how it's vitally important, this Earth, of course it is, but it's insignificant,
yes,
to the fact of our evolution and being able to evolve and, in inverted commas, ascend our vibration.
Yes.
Yes?
That's right.
Because there must be other planets that we can have a life on, or a dimension that we can live in, that we can accelerate our energy much faster than when we would if we were having a physical life.
On Earth, yes.
Let alone coming back and back and back and back.
Yes, because it actually doesn't prove anything. No. All it means is that you haven't learned anything from last time, which is actually not the case at all. If you have a message from a medium, via a medium, from your father, mother, sister, brother, they've actually recovered greatly from their experiences, both in passing and also their physical life. Much of it has simply been washed away. Much of it will have been able to have been overcome largely because of the recompense and reconciliation they would have had to have gone through.
Mm. Okay.
And may still be going through, you see.
Okay. Another way of explaining it could be, and it's just coming to me now, so we've gone back and we either are looking at our Akashic records or the review of our life in some other way with our soul group friends and our doorkeeper, etc. And we're going through it, and then we discover the our foibles and things that we got wrong and etc. And if we hadn't actually realized it, then that is highlighted to us, and then surely then we, in that pure energy state, are remorseful if we are actually going through that process. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely.
So, you don't have to come back to do something make that right, because it's blatantly obvious.
You can make it right there.
Exactly.
You have to, in fact, in order to change your energy and vibration.
Exactly.
That's my point. Mm. And so it means that if you have created something, then no doubt what will be part of your path of recompense and reconciliation will be that you'll have to go help someone else who is also in a similar situation now, freshly returning from the physical side of life. Mm. Or maybe it will be that you have to recompense and reconciliation the deed in some other way. Usually, oftentimes, it is to do with that other being's soul group, and perhaps to do with their ancestors, or perhaps it's recompense in some other way. Maybe it will be that you'll have to wait until that other person that you have to make recompense for or to has passed themselves. So, and it will just be a simple matter of waiting, and how you bide your time during that time will be a matter of your accolade, will be a matter of how you understand the necessity to change your energy, to try to better yourself. And you don't have to have a physical life in order to do that. In fact, oftentimes we see and observe that human beings, or rather spirit, having a physical life, when left to the physical conscious self, it's just so much about ego, selfishness, and all of the other detrimental diseases of the mind, if you like.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. So actually, I've got another question here from Brooke from Oregon.
Yes.
And she says, well, then how would this affect us in our growth? If we actually had never met anyone who had had a physical life on Earth or knew anything about it,
you would still be that beautiful, wonderful spirit that you were in any event. The point is that what you have to understand is, so does that mean to say that if you have existed for millions and millions of years, as I'm often portraying to most people that we have ever met, that in actual fact their spirit is as pure as the time at which their beautiful spirit moved away from the creation of all life, or God, or however you wish to call that. So that means to say then that if you as a being had never ever had a physical life, then you would still be that purity. You would be like an angel. You would be like a being of fairy. You would be of the type and form that actually recognizes maybe that it doesn't have to have a physical life. And that's the point. That is my point, really, that all spirit, when asking of your own unique spirit, the question will be answered by simple fact of, I actually don't need to have a physical life.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people will say, no, I didn't really need to do this, did I? Because it's rather painful. But,
yes,
you know, and we could talk about reasons why we decided to do that till the cows come home. But
yes, well,
I'm sure that it, you know, Why did you decide to have a physical life?
I was interested. What it felt like. What did breathing of physical air feel like? What was it like to experience Earth? Attraction. What was it like to experience forms of actually being part of the gravitational field of a physical planet, you see?
Mm.
Such as Earth. Because in actual fact, all planets have a different registry, are quite different within the gravitational field of how then you are enabled or enacted on that planet.
Mm.
Mm. So it's really just a matter of a different experience.
Yes, and I'm sure we all thought that, but so you're thinking, it's a bit like going on holiday, you know, you just read about the good things.
Yes.
And sort of brush aside quite, you know, nonchalantly, yes.
The lack of facilities.
Of bad things that could happen because you're so excited, yes, about doing something different.
Yes, quite
so. But,
I expect cave dwellers thought that as well.
Yeah. So, okay, I'm going to go back to this. I have a question here from, who's this? Jason in Vancouver.
Yes.
You mentioned that our mind is part of the universe, but your brain isn't.
Yes.
Did we talk about this last week? I can't remember.
We touched on it. It's actually because of the fact that the physical brain is the physical brain. It's part of your physical body. It's made up of bits and pieces. Little tubes and bits and pieces of fluid, and which are kept at a various degree of pH value in order to make it that it can be active.
Mm.
It's a bit like, I suppose, having a battery in your head or something like that. And that actually what happens is that it creates connections from one place to another part of your physical brain.
Mm.
But that's just a physical organ. It's nothing to do with the spirit world.
Mm.
The situation is that that's then the mechanism which creates relationship between physical self and physical surrounding, enabling contact, enabling physiology of different states of chemical structure that interact with that physical being, biology, carbon unit, that then enables the whole structure to be able to communicate and talk with other structures.
Can I just read you something from,
yes,
something that you have said before? You said that when talking about the mind and the brain, if you stood in the 11th dimension, you wouldn't observe the planet Earth.
That's right.
Or even the 8th, because
absolutely,
it simply doesn't exist there.
That's
from
right.
One dimension to another is a sliding scale of vibration, and the sine wave becomes multidimensional.
That's right.
You don't see it as it is because you are a three-dimensional being.
That's right.
We don't have the mechanics to view it. Our retinas are not geared up.
They're not capable.
They're not capable.
Now, some people, what they are able to do because of various hot wiring that's gone on, usually because of dream state activity or meditational activity, enables different wiring, different engagement with the physical side of life, so that, for example, you may take little journeys from your physical being via your beautiful, pure and wondrous spirit to the universe, to the multiverse. It may be that part of what your journey is just simply that you go to somewhere else on the planet. Maybe just simply leaving your physical body and going outside the room, or being outside of your physical body yet observing it is oftentimes something that many people will find quite frightening, in fact, and yet exhilarating and very peace-filled as well at the same time. So it does mean to say that when you as a physical being are wishing to understand the lapses of the mind or the perceptions of a multi-layered dimensional universe, what you have to understand is that when, for example, you're in dream state reality, and what you do is you suddenly find yourself flying perhaps outside of the solar system, or maybe you actually find yourself suddenly moving past a planet that is below you, or to the right or left of you. What's actually happening there? And because of the time sequences, that jump that appear to move and be motivated outside of your operation is purely and simply because as a physical being, your energy cannot correlate in a steady stream the energy that is your spirit as it moves your consciousness forward. That's simply because your physical energy cannot tolerate other dimensional states of being or universe. So it means that as you move via your spirit and your consciousness through the universe or the multiverse, in a sense moving through time, you escape parts of it because it's not in the same structure. So in a sense, it's a bit like, I'm trying to think of a physical real-time analogy. If you were looking at a film, and the film had been cast originally at 60 frames per second, but you only had a viewability of 24 frames per second because you lived in a different part of the planet, then it would mean that every 24 seconds you would miss 6 seconds of six parts, six frames of the rest of the film. So every second, I'm sorry, I'll say that again. So that every second you would miss 6 frames from the film itself. So it would actually appear as though it were a jerky motion.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Every second you would have little gaps.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly the same state that you have when you are living through a real-time journey of consciousness into the outer dimension, or perhaps through a timeline, or perhaps through some other vehicle which is non-physical. And because the registry of consciousness, when you are having a physical journey, actually doesn't make up the difference, doesn't make the other 6 frames, you see?
Mm-hmm.
You miss them out because mm-hmm. you're not expecting them, because you're not of that dimension.
Yes.
Do you see?
Yes, I hope everybody else does soon. But if they don't, then don't forget to email me at enq@spiritmasterteaching.com. And this is the thing, you know, if people can email me the things that they want to go through again, that's easier, like I just asked that question there from the other week. So,
I hope that you understand that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but basically, just to go back to clarify the soul group situation for Kathy, so a soul group is a collection of beings who are of a similar vibration, similar energy. When they have and there are thousands of soul groups. Actually,
millions, in fact. Yes.
I meant to say that. I'll just take this opportunity to say to people that we do Akashic readings, and Gregory can tell you what soul group you're from and how that can help you immensely in finding out about your core energy, who you really are, who you truly actually would be, what you would be good doing and pursuing in this life.
Yes.
Aligning your physical life with this etheric energy of your spirit group. So get in touch with me. There's an Akashic Readings page on our website, which actually is being revamped at the moment. So it should be sort of all singing and all dancing soon, hopefully. But anyway, so the soul group, there's millions of soul groups. The people, energy, should I say, in the soul group are of similar vibrations?
Yes, sometimes soul groups are solely structured because of changes in evolutionary pathways. So that means to say that, for example, you would have the family of horse. And you would see and note and understand that various different beings of horse, actually, because there isn't just one soul group of horse, there are a number, because horse are actually very deeply spiritual beings, have different facts, have different ways about them. They're not all the same. They are
They are very typical archetypes. They have different temperaments. They have different notions. They have different experiences and different ways of attention toward physical life and toward one another as well. In exactly the same way that whales, dolphins, elephants, swans have different soul groups as well. And that's because of the many different relationships they build up within their different state of reality.
It doesn't actually go to plan and follow. It doesn't follow that you're necessarily going to get on with a soul group member, though, when you're having a physical life.
Because that's right.
That's not... You've still got your character, your all of the things that have shaped you and your personality.
Yes.
It's just the energy that if you were harmonious and things, you know, like somebody wasn't, say, carrying lots of negative baggage with them and et cetera and everything, they were both in harmony a lot of the time with their self and with their environment, then they probably would get on, wouldn't they? Because their energy, their core energy would be similar.
Yes, that's quite true. Of course, it may well be that you have two beings from one soul group and they're from two completely different ends of the spectrum from one another. And that is a possibility too.
Mm.
Yes.
It's not all what it's cracked up to be. The good thing about knowing your soul group, though, is that the energy that you are does have an ability... specific abilities that you can bring through as this being. Because you've said before that there are certain soul groups that actually, if we didn't have these particular people from these soul groups having a physical life, that the world would be in a bigger state. Negative state than it is now.
Yes, that's quite true.
But doesn't that follow the other way as well?
It does. Yes.
So why don't more from the
beautiful groups come and have a physical life?
Well, they're all beautiful, aren't they? Because they
are. Yes, of course.
Because they haven't had a physical life, and they are beautiful, but they have different qualities.
Yes, that's right.
Some are communicators. Some draw people together. Some are leaders. Some, you know, that sort of thing. Healers.
Yes, but that, in a sense, my dear friend, is partly why it is that at this moment in time there are more beings who are from very, very beautiful collections of energy that then come and have a physical life because to build up the impetus to change matters in the physical state.
Okay, so that is happening.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
To a certain extent, it's been happening for centuries.
Yes, but so is that why we think there's an energy change, a pole shift, or whatever, not pole shift, some change in our consciousness that people think that we are gaining in spirituality. But actually what it is the like-minded people are getting together through BBS radio.
Yes, absolutely, internet, those kinds of media.
We are all coming together and finding out about each other.
Yes, but what I was saying, you see, really, originally, if you look at, shall we say, the 11th or 12th century, there were some absolutely wonderful and fully loving beings who existed then. It's just that they didn't know that one another existed. Because they didn't have the same media possibility of communication that you have now. They had to rely on themselves and a horse and cart, or not even that. So much of the time, it was very, very difficult to even know what was happening at the other end of the country, let alone the other side of the planet. So the situation that you have now is that, in many respects, Earth civilization has never had so much to its fingertips to enable real peace, prosperity, and love to develop. This should not be a wasted opportunity by those of human physical state, because they govern the Earth, the planet. It is a matter of whether human beings and their behavior sanctify and create great sanctuary within the Earth, or whether they completely destroy it. As in their carelessness, like, for example, various matters to do with industrial pollution and that kind of thing,
or whether through overfishing and their selfishness that they actually decimate it and make it so that the life of the planet it actually ceases. I understand, in actual fact, friend, that various experimentations to do with North Atlantic fisheries, for example, has actually come true and absolutely completed in respect of the regaining of the fisheries, simply and purely because of the cessation of fishing in shallow water areas where those fish breed and grow.
Yes, and you're saying this because without the ecosystem being balanced in the sea, in the oceans, then the human race wouldn't be able to exist, basically.
That's right. Mm. Yes, absolutely. And I'm not just talking about because human beings rely upon fishes for food.
No, exactly. No.
I'm talking about the whole state of the stratosphere, atmospheres, and any other aspects of the climatology of the physical planet. Mm. Because all of the whole mass of it and the structure of oxygen is contained and continues to be multiplied by the oceanic surface, simply because of the small microorganisms that live there. So that's part of the reason why it is that when you have such captured ecosystems as the planet is, that's how you have to regard it. Just the same as if you were keeping a bowl of goldfish. Mm. In exactly the same way. It's just a bigger cosm. The microcosm of the bowl of goldfish is exactly the same as the ecosystem of a planet. You have to treat it with the same care. This is many of the situations that many indigenous peoples had grown up to understand and some not to understand to their peril. Part of the reason why some indigenous peoples actually became decimated and eventually became completely extinct.
Mm. And other planets, of course, and you've spoken about that before.
Yes, absolutely so, yes.
Mm. Yes, well,
I know that we've gone off track a little
we
bit.
We have slightly, yes, but yes. I think that we've explained difference between the soul group
I
and the
multi-dimensional
self or entity. Basically, that's you, Kathy. You are a multi-dimensional person. And I have to say this.
Lovely with it, too.
Yes. I have to say that I wrote down here something else that that you said once about... about you were talking about meditation taking you into another dimension, basically.
Yes.
Okay, when you are meditating properly.
Yes.
And but you said it's like women have another dimension. How that women are better at meditating.
Yes, that's right.
Why is that?
That's simply because they have an ability to multitask. Uh-huh. Much more readily than men. Males tend to think one-dimensionally in many respects.
Most, yeah, not all. Not all.
I said many.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, I see.
So that's the point, really, that if you have a male who is blown away by their, not the emotional field necessarily, but the chemical reactions within his physical body, then is not actually going to be able to still anything, yet alone the mind.
And yet, if they're not multitasking, then they should have more, it's only singular things that they are concentrating on, as it were, then... it should be easier to meditate because there's not much to take out.
One would think, I expect, my dear friend. The problem is really to do with the problems really are of discipline.
I'm going to get some stick, aren't I?
I don't know, my dear friend. I'm not of the physical side of life, so I beg to differ and I will just, evaporate. Yes.
Yeah.
So in a sense, you would find then that a human physical person, male, if they were sensitive, then they have adopted certain pheromonics from the female genetic. That doesn't mean to say they're weak or anything else. Mm. It means to say that some of that has become a part of their chemistry. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. Mm. In actual fact, it makes a more whole person.
Okay. Yes. Well, thank you for your questions, Kathy, Brooke, and Jason. And if there's anything that you still don't, you know, or if you want us to go over again, you can always email us. And
yes, absolutely.
That goes
so.
For the same for anybody.
Yes, of course.
Because it was quite a deep. Well, hopefully it was simple to understand, because that's the idea, isn't it? That was one of the first
things. I do hope
things
so.
That you ever said when you first started coming through, really, is that we have to make it so that it's
accessible
to everybody,
yes.
So that everybody can understand.
The difficulty, really, when you're talking about multiverse and different properties of the existence in physical state or any state, is really in relating to it in a way that the mind can accept.
Mm.
And so, in a sense, that's why we do try to be careful about how we do explain things. It's not to that we are saying this in some way derogatory to the mind.
No, or to anybody else's teachings or whatever.
Yes, absolutely.
But we've come to the end of the show once again, Gwen.
Oh, have we really, friend? Yes, well, quite so. Oh, well, very well then. Oh, with love and light, peace and blessings upon you, everyone, my dear friends. Thank you so very much. Thank you, obviously, so always to Master Don Newsom and all of the little Newsoms that may be pattering around with their tiny feet. Yes, I thank you so. God bless upon your journeys, my dear friend. Thank you so. God bless.
Yes, thank you very much for joining us, and we hope you've enjoyed the show. Don't forget to visit our website, www.spirit-teaching.com. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work on the wonderful bbsradio.com. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye. We'll be right back.